Good evening, everyone. We'll say hello again. Good evening. Smile if you can hear me. That's the first time you smiled today, isn't it? It's good to see your brother John back from New Zealand. You're back a wee while, John. It's good to have you back amongst us. Just turn around there and shake hands and tell everybody they're looking well. It's nice to see them. Tell them you're so glad they made it here safely and skis are provided for the way home. Nice to have you in the house of God, and it's nice to know the presence of God with us today. He's such a wonderful Savior and He does so much for us. It's overwhelming, isn't it, when we just begin to think of how good our God is. Now let's just bow for a moment of prayer. Let's pray together. Father, we have come into your house to worship you. We've come into your house to praise your name. We've come into your house to hear your word. We've come into your house, Lord, to do that which the world has no desire to do. And, oh God, we're so glad that we have this desire seated deep down in our hearts. We thank you for your great love that met us in the filth of our sin and lifted us out of that mire and did something in our hearts that has switched the light on, has altered our desires, and as a resultant consequence, altered our destiny. We're glad we're going to heaven tonight, those of us who are saved, Father. We're glad we're born again of God's Spirit. We make no apology for it. We thank you that we've been saved by sovereign grace. Lord, we thank you, as we said this morning, that it was harder to get to church than it was to get into the presence of God. You have made a way where there was no way. Lord, there's no snowdrift, nothing could prevent us from getting to the foot of the cross. We thank you for the blood. Thank you for the efficacy of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. Lord, we owe you an eternal debt. We owe you, Lord, everything we are and everything we have, because you have done so much for us. Lord, our hearts are melted when we think of all the Lord has done for me. I will never cease to praise him. Lord, we pray that our hearts will be hearts of praise, thanksgiving and worship in your house. Lord, we're thinking of an event that's to come in our world. And Father, there'll be no Sky News team will be able to record it. There'll be no one preparing in the sense to take photographs. It'll happen so quickly. It'll be over and people won't even know it. Father, we pray that everyone in this gathering tonight will be ready. Every child of God busy for the kingdom. Every saint of God right with each other and right with the Lord. Father, we pray you'll come upon us now in our worship and in our ministry. We ask it, giving you thanks. Lord, we do remember those of our fellowship who are in ill and sickness. We thank you for Peggy's recovery. Quite miraculous, Lord, and we put that down to the hand of God. And we thank you that she's recovering now in White Abbey in the rehabilitation unit. We also do pray for our dear brother Charlie Whitler. And also pray for Margaret, Lord. We'd love if she had an opportunity somehow just to get right with her, Lord. God in heaven, you can do the impossible. Give us opportunity, we pray. Think of all of Reed tonight. Think of others, Father, who are laid aside. They need thy help, Lord in heaven. Look down in mercy. Don't, Lord, reward us according to our shortcomings, but according to your great grace and mercy. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake alone. Amen. We're going to have a little time of worship in this moment in time. I'm going to ask Rebecca, please, to come and help us. The first song we're going to do, you'll know it very well. We're going to invite you to sing along with us, and we'll get you to stand for this one whenever we have the introduction.
You're the Word of God the Father, from before the world began. Every star and every planet has been fashioned by your hand. All creation holds together by the power of your voice. Let the skies declare your glory.
going to do one that you have not sang, I don't think, in Abbott's Cross in my time, 4 or 5 year old one. And yet it is a very, very good one. I really love it. We may sing it through twice. And it's called, it's a Phil Wickham song called You're Beautiful. I was at a meeting last night and they said, are we going to sing You're Beautiful? I said, thank you, yes. I never had as many people telling me I was beautiful in my life. A bit nervous about it because it is quite a modern one. Congregations don't usually catch on that easily to tempo and songs, and this one goes nice and smoothly through. But there are some wonderful words in it. Some wonderful words. You see, the unsaved don't see the beauty of Jesus. All they see, it says, in fact, Isaiah said, there's no beauty in him that we should desire him. They just see another religious individual, like an artifact. They just see someone who stands out in history as another man with another set of rules. But whenever the curtain is pulled back in your spiritual being, and you get your spiritual sight, he becomes the altogether lovely one. The fairest of 10,000.
Third verse.
I see you there, hanging on a tree. You bled and then you died and then you rose again for me. Now you are sitting on your heavenly throne.
Soon you will be coming home.
Your beauty. And we'll sing your beautiful. Ooh, 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 ooh,
your beautiful.
Ooh, 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 your beautiful.
A little song. You're supposed to be singing along with us, by the way. So really nice words, aren't they? Those of you who know the Lord, who fell in love with Him. If you couldn't say it often enough, when's the last time you said you're beautiful to your wife? Eh? Don't treat the Lord the way you treat your wife. Do you hear me? Don't treat the Lord the way you treat your wife. Tell the Lord He's beautiful. Real worship comes from your heart. And is supposed to be directed to the heart of the Father. That's why Jesus said, these people worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Do you like to stand for our next song? Be still for the presence of the Lord.
Thank you.
blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of His Spirit, washed with blood. This is my story.
Time of worship. Trust that it has been something of an enrichment to your soul, and that the Lord has seen from heaven and has accepted our worship. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Let's pray. God in heaven, we are so glad to be able to sing these songs with conviction and assurance, because Lord, these are not just words that come from our lips. Lord, they're deposited deep in our hearts because You shed Your love in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Now, God in heaven, we pray that everyone in this gathering will sense that God has been pleased with their attitude in worship. And Father, as we bring our offerings and our tithes to You just now, we give it with a glad heart, not a sad heart. And we give it in reflection of all that You've given to us. And we remember, Lord, those churches that are persecuted around the world. Remember those who must meet in covert places, hidden from view. Remember those, Lord, who suffer for their faith. And Father, we pray that as we have such wonderful freedom here, that we'll not scorn it, waste it, belittle it, but every opportunity You give, our God in heaven, help us to seize it. Now we give our offerings and our tithe to You in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've got your Bibles and would like to follow in the scripture reading, then we have two places that we're going to turn to. We're first of all turning to 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. And then we'll also be turning to 1 Thessalonians and chapter 4. 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. And then we'll be reading from 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4. Thinking of the rapture. Title of the message is When the Trumpets Fade. These trumpets are mentioned in three times in the scriptures. We're reading two of them, and then another time you'll find them in Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 to 2. I'm just going to throw this out amongst you. If you would feel that perhaps scripture would be easier for you coming up on the PowerPoint, maybe we could arrange that, but if you think that's not a good idea, because I wouldn't want to discourage you carrying your Bible into church, then I wouldn't want to do that, but if that would be a help to some of you, we're open to suggestions, and hopefully that goodwill and wisdom would prevail. Now, let's read together from God's Word, 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, reading from verse 51 to verse 57, and then 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4. Verse 51 of chapter 15. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Then 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we're reading from verse 13 to verse 17. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen, and we know that God will bless that public reading of his word to our hearts. In the next couple of weeks, maybe in the morning, maybe in the evening, I'm going to look at some end times issues. Next Lord's Day evening, I'll be looking at Satan's Superman. What happens immediately after this event? And we'll be explaining that to you. Tonight we're looking at something that is popularly called or commonly called the rapture. You'll not find that word in the Bible. And there's been all sorts of movies made about the rapture and the suddenness of it and all of that. Well, I'm not really necessarily going to concern myself with all of those issues. Nor do I necessarily want to use it as a scare tactic to try and scare you. But I want to try and tease out what I believe as Scripture teaches on this subject that everybody talks about, but nobody really knows an awful lot about it. The word that is used for rapture is a Latin translation, harpazo, and it means caught up. And so we see the roots of that word in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, caught up. One day, I believe, you can fall out with me if you like, one day I believe that there's going to be a tremendous and sudden change in the population of planet Earth. God's people shall be taken in a moment up to be with the Lord. Now, I very nearly stole my own thunder, but I think I need to say we'll be caught up to the marriage feast of the Lamb, which will be a 7-year period enjoying the presence of God in Ailing Corrie, if you think you could turn out a feed like it, you have another thing coming. Paul calls it in Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, that blessed hope. That blessed hope. You know, it's not always going to be miserable. One day we're going to be translated and transported in the twinkling of an eye into the very presence of Jesus Christ. Won't that be wonderful? I mean, you're not going to need faith. You're going to be planted right in front of him. And oh, the change that's going to take place physically, spiritually, morally, mentally. Oh, it'll be out of this world. Out of this world. Our Lord's return is spoken of many times in Scripture. Spoken of in detail in three particular portions. I've read two of them together to you. It will happen as the trumpet sound is just fading into the past. When the trumpets fade. Well, what's going to take place? Well, in those days that Paul was speaking about, it wasn't an uncommon thing to hear a trumpet sound. The trumpets were used, and you know that Paul often used, when he was preaching or writing, he used things that he could see and things that he could hear. That's why we have the Christian's armor described in Ephesians chapter 6. And he tried to use earthly things to describe heavenly things. And he did a good job of it, didn't he? In those days, trumpets were used for four reasons. Number one, to proclaim a victory. What a victory, eh? Isn't it any wonder that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where he says, "Oh, death, where is thy sting?" I wonder how he got his mind on the rapture when he's talking about that, because he says, "We've all changed in the twinkling of an eye. And so there'll be no dying." You know, I would love that I don't have to die. You know that? I would, if we knew the same. I mean, I'm not afraid to die, by the way, but I'd rather just have first-class transport set up, wouldn't you? I mean, I've got my seat, my ticket booked, haven't you? And there'll be no cancellations either. No snow will stop us going. Have you got a good head for heights, by the way? Well, in those days, the trumpet was used to proclaim a victory, or to call an assembly, or to announce a warning, or to call troops to battle. Within the Roman army, it was a victory over the world would be announced. In the rapture, it means that the victory over the world will be announced. Saints called to assemble in the Lord's presence. You know, the invitation is to come to church, not only to sing a few songs, but to actually come into the presence of God. I sense the presence of God in the service this evening. I sense the presence of God in the service this morning. I sense the presence of God in Tempo and Enniskillen last night. Powerfully. Powerfully. It'll be nothing like this. It'll be nothing like this. Brought into the majestic presence of our wonderful Savior. You're invited to announce assembly, to warn against the judgment on the world. 7 years of unbelievable torture called Jacob's troubles, the like of which the earth has never seen. When we're enjoying the presence of God and the angels, and the marriage feast of the Lamb, the 7-year tribulation will be happening down here on earth. Make sure you're not there. And the angelic troops summoned to battle. But one of the things that the trumpets did mean was, it meant a signal to move out. And when Paul was talking in 1 Thessalonians of chapter 4, when the trumpet sounds, it's the signal to move out. So what will happen as the what will have happened as the trumpets are fading? Our Lord will have returned. Come to meet us in the air. Remember the song, there's going to be a meeting in the air in the great, was it? Sweet by and up. See, you folk know these songs. Why do you not sing them? Next time I visit your house, you can sing them to me. I'll bring my earplugs. Our Lord will have returned. That will be in fulfillment of his promise. He says, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. And he always keeps his promises. A fulfillment of his promise. Not only a fulfillment of his promise, but a fulfillment of his purpose. He's coming to take the church to be with himself, the prepared bride. Prepared as a bride, beautifully adorned for her husband. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 and verse 27. So our Lord will have returned, as he promised. All departed saints will have been resurrected. Isn't that wonderful? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13 to 16, as we have read together. I want you to notice something about their present condition. See, people ask me, well, what about those that have gone on before? Those who have been called home, or as Paul says, those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. What kind of condition? Well, they're in the presence of God. I don't understand it, but I know this. Some people say they've got a spiritual body. I don't understand it, but I do know this, that in the transfiguration, who was there in the presence of Jesus? Moses and Elijah. You could see them. What kind of physical form they had, I don't know. But they are, listen, your loved ones that have gone on, who've died trusting in Christ, they were never more alive than they are now. And if they couldn't sing here on earth, boy, I tell you, they've got some voice in heaven. Eh? Singing the praises of him who loved them. It says there in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 3, and behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And as you know, Peter, who always puts his foot in it, he says, let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. I don't know the kind of form that we have when we die, but we have a form which is recognizable. Well, all the saints, whenever Jesus comes, will be resurrected. Their spirits will be united with their bodies, and they'll get their glorified bodies. Imagine going from 90 to about 30 in the twinkling of an eye. Isn't that wonderful? All that ingrown toenails and bad back and everything. Everything changed. Isn't that what Paul said? We shall not all die, but we shall all be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Resurrected to our new life and our new body. A body that's fit to live in the presence of God for all eternity. And I don't know how the Lord is going to do it. But I do know this. Whenever he speaks to dead things, they come alive. Do you remember when he spoke to Lazarus? Lazarus, somebody said the only reason that he mentioned Lazarus, because he had to mention Lazarus, everybody that was in the tomb would have come alive. Lazarus, come forth. Or what about to the young girl, Talitha Kumi? On the cross, as he spoke, the dead were raised. We don't have to know how it's going to happen. We dare not doubt, but it is going to happen. One day, we are going to be in our resurrected bodies where the experience of the like we have never experienced before, because he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. What a wonderful Savior. So all the saints will have been resurrected. Isn't that a wonderful thought? The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. That's their promised completion. And all the saints will have been raptured. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 17. The church will leave instantaneously. Notice the word in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. Someone says that a moment is about 1/30th of a second. That's pretty fast, isn't it? Some of you boys drive like that. But the twinkling of an eye is a thousandth of a second. The whole idea here is the speed at which this will all take place. The Lord comes back, and in that instant, bodies are raised, spirits united with glorified bodies. In a thousandth of a second, those alive will be caught up together. They're snatched away, as the little Greek means, taken by force, to claim to oneself, to snatch from the world by force, and claimed for the glory of God. There'll be no announcements, no pre-warnings, no Sky News team, no BBC. They'll only be reporting what happened, not what is happening. That's why Jesus says, therefore, be ye also ready. Because there'll be no time to say sorry to that person that you've offended. No time to go around and repay that old debt. No time to fulfill those vows that you made to the Lord all those years ago. No time to change your mind about certain decisions that you've taken. The Bible says, be ye also ready. You know, today could be that glorious day, couldn't it? This could be that glorious moment. You mightn't see home. You could hear the trumpets sounding before you leave this church building today. That's what the Scriptures teach us. That's why you have to be ready. The church will leave not only instantaneously, but it'll leave intact. Everybody caught up together. And what a hallelujah, of course, there'll be as we go up. But here's an interesting thing, and I trust that you catch hold of it. According to Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, all the saints will have been reconstructed. There'll be no bald heads going up to heaven. No ingrown toenails. You get the best nose job you'd ever thought you could possible. All the effects of fallen man will be removed. Can you imagine all diseases and the effects removed? All decay and frailty of the body in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, changing from weakness to strength, from failure to victory. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Have you ever thought about that part? Just think, no more growing old, no more pain, no more weakness, no more income tax, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more sadness, no more sickness. No more distress, no more depression. Changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Listen, changed perfectly. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, here's what we read. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we shall know this, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I really don't know, and we don't know what our body will be like, but we know this. It'll not be bound by space. It's a body that enjoys food and fellowship. It's a body that will never die. And it's a body that shines with heavenly brilliance, according to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 23. And will be changed permanently. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. You'll not wear out. You'll not wear down. You'll not grow old. In 1,000 years and 10,000 years, you'll still be as youthful as the day when you first planted your feet in the presence of God. Isn't that a wonderful hope, isn't it? That's the blessed hope. In the moment when the trumpet sounds and the heaven peals back and the archangels announces the return of the Lord and the dead in Christ, he speaks with that voice that wakes the dead and they're reunited and resurrected and caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And that wonderful change of body and of soul and of spirit where we're put into bodies that will be able to live for eternity in the presence of God, doing whatever it is we'll do for all eternity. Some people say that's going to be awful boring. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to it. And I'm looking forward to it whenever it happens. Amen, Charlie. But let me finish with this thought. And this is, the scriptures tell us it's going to happen in a moment. It's going to happen in response and in response to his promise where he said, I will come again. It's going to come according to God's program in the events of man. That's what scripture says. Why gaze ye up into heaven? This same Jesus shall come, so come in like manner as you've seen him go up into heaven. So it's going to come in fulfillment to his promises. And God's going to do everything he has said. We will be changed. We will be reunited with our body and our soul. Do you remember whenever Jesus was raised again, whenever they were walking on the road to Emmaus, did you ever wonder why they didn't recognize him? He was in his glorified body. But here's something that will warm your heart. All the saints will be enjoying a reunion. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 17, and it says, we shall be with them. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, rapazio, together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord, with our loved ones. What a reunion. What a reunion. There are loved ones in the glory. Whose dear form we of? What's that, Charlie? We often miss. I forgot the words there, by the way. It's good that you're switched on to keep me in tune here. All the children of God together in heaven forever. What a reunion. Spouses, children, parents, some of those that you'd never time to say goodbye, that you miss every time you wake your eye and every time you put your head to the pillow, you wish they were here, reunited. Oh, what a reunion, one of the songwriters wrote. It'll be a reunion with our loved ones, it'll be a reunion with our Lord. So shall we ever be with the Lord. You know, and as great as that reunion is with our loved ones, our reunion with our Lord will eclipse them all. There's a hymn in the Songs of Victory hymn book, and it says, oh, the dear ones in glory, how they beckon me to come, and our parting at the river I recall, to the sweet vales of Eden, they will sing my welcome home. But I long to meet my loved one, my Savior, most of all. What a wonderful hope to be reunited with our loved ones, but to be united with our Lord for all eternity. The Savior who died for us. You know, we often feel a sense of gratitude and debt to those who do things for us, don't we? And if someone comes and does something for us, there's a sense of appreciation, isn't there? But isn't it interesting, for the one who died for us, gave his life for us, who did so much for us, who met us at every point of our need, oh, what we'll do in his presence. We'll cast our crowns before him and we'll sing, "Worthy is the Lamb." Unto him who hath loved us and washed us from our sins, oh, we'll bow in real worship and in adoration and praise and thanksgiving and honor and glory and sing, "Worthy is the Lamb," to the one who hung on the cross. And we'll say, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and so free." All of these other things, whilst they're wonderful, the reunion, the reunion with our loved ones, it will fade into insignificance when we get into the very presence of him who did so much for us. Can you imagine? The one who paid the debt that he didn't owe. The one who bore the wrath of God. The one who drank that ugly, filthy cup for you and I. So we want to linger in his presence, won't we? Won't we want to catch hold of the hem of his garment and say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." Someone said, the reason that we need to earn as many crowns as possible on this earth is so we can cast them all at his feet on that great day. It's a day that's coming. It's a day that's meant to give you comfort and encouragement. Encourage yourself with these things. Dear soul, it's not always going to be miserable. We're not always going to be in debt in the bank. We're not always going to be burdened with ill health. We're not always going to be missing those loved ones that have gone on before. We're not always going to be wondering how wonderful it'll be to be in his presence. We're not always going to be wishing that this bad day or this bad week or this bad month was over. We're not always going to be remembering those bad memories and broken relationships. One day, I'll tell you, 10 seconds in glory will make up for all the rubbish we've had to face in this life. And it's going to happen in a moment. It could happen in a moment, said the songwriter. May God give you something of the longing. The scripture says, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Let's bow together in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we've been thinking of this great event that is to happen in the what we believe the not too distant future. Lord, you said for us to tell the times. And Lord, we see there's wars and rumors of wars, and we see all sorts of things happening. There's famines, there's floods, there's fires, and financial difficulties. And Lord, your word says whenever we see these things, they're as birth pains to a pregnant woman. And Lord, we believe that your return, and Lord, we've been seeing this, but we believe in our hearts that you did this for a purpose. We've been seeing this for centuries. It's just at the door. And as someone said, Lord, we're not looking for the signs anymore. We're listening for the sounds. God in heaven, help us to be living right with eternity and the return of Jesus Christ in view. Help us to be busy with our hands to the plough, doing all we can to prevent others from slipping into a Christless hell. Lord, comfort us today to know that that disease that has beset our body won't always rule in our body. One day we'll have a perfect body and we'll rejoice and sing and dance in the presence of our wonderful Savior. Lord, bless your word to your people. Fill our hearts with anticipation. Fill our hearts with that great desire just to know, just to experience that great moment in the sweet by and by. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake alone. Amen. Our last little song is number 229 in the Songs of Victory. It's a good going one. There's a sound on the wind like a victory song. Listen now, let it rest on your soul. There is a way of singing this song. Two verses in the chorus, the next two verses in the chorus, and then you finish off with the verse, just to make sure that you all know that. All right, we'll stand and sing. If you want to talk to me about your preparation for this great event, I will take all the time that is necessary to speak with you. You be telling your friends, Jesus is coming soon. I don't know if any of you ever saw that little film, The Secrets of Jonathan Steary or Speary. You've never seen it. You've seen it, Mark? The Secrets of Jonathan last night. I was absolutely blessed. Those young lads out telling about Jesus and the wonderful Savior that he is. Going to their friends. That's what the church needs to be doing, because it's coming in an hour we know not. And I trust that we'll not be red-faced when we see him. Let's stand and sing. Thanks. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our heart, love of God our Father, and the blessed presence and power of the Holy Spirit, and the longing for Christ's return dominate our life and our thinking in the days that lie ahead. Lord, help us to live and walk carefully, thinking of the one who gave himself for us, that we might be lights and salt in this terrible, despicable age. Bless us, O God. For without thee, Lord, we are an absolute failure. But with you, Lord, there's joy and thrill and excitement that wells up and spills out to others around us. We ask it in the Savior's name. Amen.